This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at canada-info.ca or cfur.ca. The University of Northern British Columbia launched an online accessibility forum in lieu of Indigenous Disability Awareness Month this November and International Day of Persons with Disabilities, Sunday, December 3rd. It's an important step towards creating a more accessible campus and campus community here at UNBC. And joining us talking about it today is Mindy Gobi, an Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Specialist here on campus, and Jean Bowen, an Access Coordinator at the Access Resource Center. And they both happen to sit on UMBC's Accessibility Committee. They've both helped to come up with a feedback mechanism that UMBC has just launched. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how to get to this forum, how to navigate to it, how to find it if we happen to encounter an accessibility barrier on campus? Jean Bowen.
Well, I Googled it.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, as an outsider, as opposed to going through the links that I knew existed, I Googled it and it got me right to the form. So I Googled UNBC accessibility feedback and it was right there.
The SEO is working. That's good. Way to go, UNBC web team. So you can access this through the UNBC website on the Office of Equity Affairs page. You can click on the left-hand side menu and it says accessibility. You'll be directed to the accessibility page as well as the forum. The page will have updates in terms of, you know, what's happening with accessibility on campus and, yeah, any sort of things to do with the committee and the plan.
Excellent. Obviously, UMBC has barriers to accessibility. That's part of why this mechanism was created. But in your assessment, Mindy, what does UMBC have going for it? What's working?
I think there's this kind of community initiative and shift to a more accessible campus. And I think that's the biggest thing that we have going for us is we have a community that wants more accessibility on campus. And typically that kind of like grassroots organizing and voices is how a lot of things on campus come to fruition in terms of things like accessibility, equity, diversity, and inclusion, truth and reconciliation. So it really is from a grassroots movement.
And in your assessment, Jean, what are perhaps the most significant barriers in place at UMBC? I mean, for me, what first jumps to my mind is our location. We're on top of a hill. We've got this big road to climb up to get here in the first place.
But, and the mountains of snow.
Yes.
Right. I actually had somebody reach out to me from somewhere else and go, hey, what are you doing for accessibility? We're looking at a student who's trying to decide where to go, what works and what doesn't. And I said, well, we try, but the snow is actually a legitimate barrier, snow and ice. Other barriers, things like our doors, right? A lot of our external doors don't have that push button access. And most of our internal doors don't have that push button access. Other things, communicating what's there and what's not there. So, and I think one of the other ones would be people not being aware of the barriers and how to interact with people who have the barriers, how to ask, do you want help? And how to respond when people say they do want help. And I think more people are aware of the physical and the visible disabilities and barriers that people are experiencing. It's the invisible ones, the ones that kind of are almost sneaking underneath the radar that people aren't even aware are there. And some people don't even recognize our disabilities themselves.
In lieu of that, I'm thinking of the barriers themselves. Right now, for example, they're categorized under five headings: attitudinal, organizational or systemic, architectural or physical, information or communications, and technology. Most accessibility issues fit under one of these five categories or even overlap. You know, there's Venn diagrams all over the place. Typically, I can envision an architectural or physical barrier more easily than the rest of these things. I feel like most people, we've encountered them.
Yeah, we used to have sidewalks that stopped blunt. They didn't all have the little ramp down. Now they all have the ramps down.
Perfect example.
Right,
absolutely.
So it was recognized, and that's an easy fix. It's actually an easy fix. Put them with ramps down. But some of the others you just don't even realize are there.
What kind of examples could you think of an attitudinal barrier that someone might encounter here on campus?
One that I have heard, not necessarily as much on campus, just at large, not trying to point fingers anywhere in particular, is that disabilities are still looked at as deficiencies. Mm. Right? And disability mm-hmm. isn't a deficiency, it's a difference. I'm dyslexic. My husband reads 10 times faster than I do, which you can imagine how frustrating that is when we go to, into places and they hand me a document and he's done and having a coffee and I'm still reading through the document to make sure I can understand what's going on. But it's not a deficiency, it's a difference. The brains are perfectly capable of it. Mm. It just does it differently. And so I think that's one of them, is that it's not always looked at as a difference, it's deficiency. Just as one example, but there are so many others. And even dyslexia is actually often more accepted, but then anxiety, right? Depression, those are considered disabilities. Mm-hmm. And how do they manifest? How do they impact us on our day-to-day lives?
Information or communications as a barrier? You can probably think of a few examples within there too.
Absolutely. Well, we've got information that only goes out in one mode. Right, and not all of our computers, for example, on campus have screen readers. And so if it is being put out in an email, can you read it? Mm-hmm. If you're not on your own computer at home, you're not lugging around your own computer that might have that accessibility technology on it, you're on a computer in the university campus and it doesn't have an effective screen reader on it. And if it does have a screen reader, you come to a diagram in it and it goes, hey, located here. And now there's a picture with no word description that goes with it. And so mm-hmm. now if you need that word description to go with it, you're relying on somebody to come in and give you a hand with that. Mm-hmm.
As an institution, we have a number of systems within the university. Sometimes they operate in silos. One department or organization never really communicates with another. But as far as organizational or systemic barriers, is that the type of thing we're thinking about? Or how can that present a barrier?
One of the ones that was mentioned, so the AAI, the Accessibility Ambassadors Initiative, hosted a talk the other day that some students were explaining some of the barriers that they themselves encountered. And so one of them that was brought up in that talk, which I can share because it was brought up in that talk openly, was our grad student registration process. So our undergrad student registration process, it is done online. And so if you have a screen reader and you can navigate with your accessible computer, you can do the entire process. But the grad student forms are all done by paper still. And that's your only option, is doing it by paper. And so if you don't have somebody who can help you with that paper and fill that out, and you need that assistive technology to do it, you're stuck trying to find somebody who can help you with it. So that would be one of those systematic barriers, is not having everything set up so that people of different abilities and experiencing different disabilities can access these things.
Right. And I imagine that overlaps with yet another type of barrier, technological.
Yep.
Right. Is there any examples on campus that spring to mind? Mindy Gobi?
Technological, I think just having access to all of these devices to support you in your learning as a student specifically, but even as a staff member, as a faculty member, I think technology is a way to enhance learning, and I don't know if it's necessarily being utilized to the most extent, I guess.
A really cool thing and a systematic thing that we could talk about that kind of goes with the technology is if a student has a disability and they're registered with the Access Resource Center and they're on student loans, the student loans has a process that they can provide funding for technology for students. So if a student needs a computer with a stylus that is loaded with accessible technology and software, they can do that for them, and then they ship the computer to the student and here you go, have your computer for your four-year degree. But what if you're not on student loans? If you're not on student loans and you don't qualify for student loans, this software and this technology can be quite expensive. And so if you're on that threshold of need, it's like, sorry, you don't quite need it enough. And so now you have to go and get your own computer that meets these needs, your own software that meets these needs. And so I think that would be another, not just within the university itself, but a bigger systematic barrier. It's there if you qualify for it based on somebody ticking this box.
It's great to have a feedback mechanism that it's technologically accessible, and there are barriers within mm-hmm. that itself.
We're working on that too, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And there are ideas for an app to be launched as well.
Not necessarily an app. It will be located on the UNBC Safe app. There will be a link directly to the form on the UNBC Safe app, if not already on it. So currently it is only available online. And you can also provide feedback through an email, accessibility@unbc.ca. And then we just got notice today, actually, that a phone option is now open. So that'll be updated on our website. And we're really just trying to figure out the best process or procedure for in-person feedback as a way to keep the person still anonymous if they choose to be so. So we're still figuring out that process, but all these other ones are currently available now. So
when it comes to finding an ally on campus who can help us navigate some of these barriers, right now, where are the contact points? Where should we go?
I think for students, ARC is probably at the Access Resource Center is the ideal spot. And then for staff and faculty, if you require accommodations, you would be going through Human Resources. But if you need to talk about an accessibility issue on campus, definitely reach out to the Office of Equity Affairs at accessibility@unbc.ca.
I'm imagining a scenario where a potentially dangerous moose enters campus.
I'd call security if that was going on.
Yeah. An accessible message.
There are notifications through the UMBC Safe app, so there is notifications that come through there.
I mean, right now, the only real accessible means or way of communicating is through email to students.
Within those two mediums of the UMBC Safe app and a general email, as far as an accessible messaging, would that message include perhaps an alternate map route, either visible cues, audio cues? Is the university working towards this type of messaging where we can access in different mediums certain alerts?
Those are incredible ideas, Ian.
They
and
are.
I would suggest that you fill in this mechanism, feedback mechanism form, to provide that so that we can inform the accessibility plan that's required by the university to create. So we want to hear folks' ideas. We want to know what are barriers on campus, but we also want to hear about ideas that could make the university more accessible.
We do also have a new director for safety who may be looking after some of those things now that we have that new person in that position.
Every department essentially would be looking after the accessibility components within their sphere.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention in regards to the new feedback mechanism? Or
I loved some of the steps that Mindy went through in trying to create this feedback form, and lots of reaching out to various areas, making sure that she talked to us at ARC and she talked to various bodies before it was rolled out. It wasn't just created in that silo, like we were talking about silos earlier and how these different things are often done in these little pockets. Mindy didn't create this in a pocket.
There are efforts made to connect each other and make something that was truly accessible in its form.
I'm not the expert in this, and I don't know if anyone could be an expert in everyone's experiences. So it does take a community to build initiatives to support the community. And it can't just be one person or it can't just be one office. It definitely has to be this communal effort, this collective effort that works towards this. And
I'm looking forward to the day accessibility is something we do. Like, exactly. That's just what we do. That's not an extra thing off the side of your desk. It's not something that's kind of, we need to. It's just
an
always part of what is looked at on a day-to-day basis. It's part of how we function.
Yes. There'll be a lot of stuff coming out of our office over the next couple of months as well. How to have an accessible classroom, how to ensure your email is accessible. Some of those day-to-day functions, we'll be giving some tips on how to really address some of the, in-person or online barriers that people face. And we will be doing consultations once the draft plan is live. And so folks can give us feedback on the actual plan. Does it meet the needs of folks? Priorities set accordingly, knowing that this is a journey, this is a process, but knowing that we have folks on campus that care. We have an incredible sponsorship from leadership here as well. And so folks come to the consultations, listen in on what the plan is informing, and we'll take it from there. If anyone is interested in sitting in on an accessibility committee meeting, you are welcome to do so. Our next one will be held in January. And we need to hear perspectives. And the more folks involved, the more perspectives we're hearing. So if anyone is interested in sitting in on a meeting, you are welcome to do so.
I love the idea of if you see something and you have an idea that might help, provide that idea.
Yes.
Right? Don't just tell us what's broken. It's like if you have an idea about what's broken and ways that might help to fix it, share that too.
I think people have incredible ideas on how to solve some of these issues on campus. And I think adding to what Jean said is this is no longer going to be an afterthought. It's going to be incorporated into how we do business, in quotations. So
Joining us in studio today has been Mindy Gobi, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Specialist on UMBC campus, and Jean Bowen, Access Coordinator at the Access Resource Center. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today, talking about UMBC's new online accessibility feedback mechanism.
Thanks for having us, Ian.
Thank you very much.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at canada-info.ca or cfur.ca.